everyone. It's April, and Tony and I are back again this week. Not too much to report about pets. Everybody is like stable for the moment, and we haven't had truly hot weather yet, what we usually get, like in the hundreds. So I'm knocking on wood to hope that doesn't happen, because when it gets too hot, the poor tortoises suffer the most because they're outside. What they have done is they've dug down into the earth. They do this, they burrow, and they're in a dirted area, and they have dug down about 3 feet and made a cave that they get into when it gets too hot. So it's very interesting to watch how they handle themselves. But when it gets really, really hot, I go out and I hose them down every couple of hours with cold water, you know, with a hose to sort of cool their shell off, because they're not like humans. All of their sensory is in their shell. So if I rinse that off with colder water, it does get to them a lot faster. Like if they just drink cold water, that's not going to do it for them, because everything in a tortoise's body goes at glacier speed, everything. And even when you give them medication, I've been told, and I've given medication quite a bit, they told me I had a tortoise that had a sore on his face, and they gave me injectables to put in between his little scales on his arm. They said, but it won't affect him. Like if this were a normal animal, if we put pain reliever in, they say within 5 to 10 minutes, they're starting to feel the effects. A tortoise, because their system is so slow, they don't feel it for almost an hour when you put it in. So I thought that was interesting. You know, because every animal on the planet has its own little unique things, but I never realized, since I've been taking care of all these animals, that tortoises' bodies were so slow. And that means if they get sick, like if they got cancer, my vet told me, they get cancer, it will take maybe 30 years for them to die of cancer. It's so slow in their system. So I am just fascinated with all this tortoise stuff, because it's completely opposite of everything else. So anyways, everybody's good. It's not really hot yet, so the tortoises aren't suffering too badly yet. And Tony, how is it in Maine?
It's nice today. It's about 75, so it's a nice day here.
Oh, good.
And there's nothing new to report. You know, everybody, QQ's doing fine. And I'm not home right now, so if the audience hears music in the background, I'm at Chico's, trying to shop for summer clothes, which is like a little late, but I'm doing it. And they're having a great
late. Well, when you get the sales if you go late, that's for sure.
Going for the sales.
Ah. Okay, well, I'm going to go get Veronica. Let's get the party started.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the show today. Again, we have some great, great questions, and I encourage you to write in to innerwhispersradio.com, and that's INNER whispersradio.com. Are you there, Veronica?
Indeed we are. Good day to you.
Good day to you. Our first question is coming from JP. Besides intent and awareness, how can someone increase the potential of communicating and channeling with physical and non-physical entities like yourself? Is there always a participant ready and wanting and waiting to be channeled?
Well, that depends. There are some energies that don't have that in their agenda to come through a human and give help to those who are still in the physical reality. Yes, intention is perfect for it, and of course awareness, but you also have to practice it. You can't just sit, you know, it's very odd to be able to just to sit down and start channeling. There are some moments that does happen that way, but if you're aspiring, we think it's very important to practice, which means have a friend. Go into meditation and have your friend with you And the friend can ask questions as you're going through the process of trying to connect. Sometimes an energy will come in, but without somebody asking questions or carrying on a conversation, it would be hard to hold the energy. So we'd say there's not always an energy sitting around waiting to be channeled. And not every energy will come in to channel. And those of you who can bring things in, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Some of you have the more open environment inside of you that it can happen very easily, but others, we say you might have to practice a little bit, and there are a few that just will never be able to do it due to belief systems and everything else that happens in physical reality. So we say there is a very good likelihood that if you practice, you would be able to align yourself better and bring the energy in. So we'd say, if you have a friend who's interested in the subject, or maybe someone who's even not, but is supporting you in this, to ask, to have some questions ready, like what's your name, where are you from, you know, all that helps bring the energy in and helps them connect with you energetically through this person who is asking the questions. So yes, you can practice your way into it as well.
Okay, our next question is coming from Myrna. Both Judaism and Christianity speak of a resurrection. However, if we live so many lives, which body actually gets resurrected? Or is this just a religious belief?
Well, it is a religious belief. It is true that you're not going to maybe come back in a body that represents who you are in this, in when there's a resurrection moment going on. And there have been some resurrecting moments in history that have been portrayed as. We'd say that you do have a lot of different lives, but some of them are going to be more favorite than others. Some of them you might have learned more than others. Others you might be connected with energies that you want to reconnect with again. We'd say that with all the lives, you would probably pick out a combination of different lifetimes to put together. And we'd say that it's not, every life that you live is not going to be as memorable. I mean, there's different levels of memorability in different lives that you have. And even though you don't know it, you do come in with some physical attributes that are very reminiscent from life to life to life. So let's say you decided that you're going to go through a resurrection moment. You can do that, but you would probably pick a combination of all the lives you had and use the look that you've used in most of your lifetimes to portray the body. It's a complicated kind of thing, but it does exist, and it's certainly available for all.
Okay, our next question, Jasmine would like to know, where does our consciousness go when we sleep?
Well, the consciousness leaving the body when you sleep is a very important moment for the biology. The biology has to support your energy, and the body has to rest. It's in a circular motion within physical reality, so it does have to have moments of rest. You do go out of body when you sleep so that the body can do that rest. There are a multitude of things that the consciousness can go to. You can go to other dimensional spaces. You can go look at past lives. You can. There's a million different things that you can go do when you're sleeping because the body does need the rest. And some of you have some very high frequency going on, and that taxes the body a little bit more than, say, someone with a lower frequency. So the consciousness has a multitude of choices. It is not usually favorable for a consciousness to stay in the body while the sleep process is going on. You go to those other dimensional spaces, and you can also go into a moment where you can go to, how do we put this?
Withdrawal.
We're right here. An evolutionary moment. You can go into an evolving moment while you're out of body as well. So, but the body has to rest. The consciousness must go out. And there is a multiple choice card. You can go to any place you want, really. And some of you choose to go through some of the thoughts in your head or some of the things that you've gone through the day to try to work out problems that might have occurred while in the physical reality. And you go into a dream state where you can work out some of those problems.
Okay, our next question is coming from Janie. Is there a way for people to access strengths that they may have had during a past life?
All of the experience that you have had in all of your lives stay with you. You can access it. Now, you say, well, gee, how do we do that? We'd say, first of all, acquaint yourself with the past life moment that is within you. Sometimes you can do, you know, a moment where you can go back into those lives and take a look at them. Past life regression might be a good thing to sort of give you an outline of where you've been. We'd say that you can access all the strengths if you know what the lives are, what that life brought to you, what gift you have and what gift you still carry from a particular past life. You can certainly use them. And some of them you just use without even thinking about it. A lot of your experiences compound in your consciousness and you access them all the time without even really realizing that you're accessing something from a past life. But if you really want to know the specifics, do a past life regression. Latch onto one of the lives and say, okay, now I want to go into this one life and feel what I learned in that life, what experiences I had in that life, not just the dramatics, but the experiences. And then you'll be able to maybe pinpoint and automatically move into some of the strengths that you've had from other lives. So it's all there. It's just you have to access it.
Okay, Veronica, that was our last question. And if you want to take a break and come back and give the message to the world, that would be great.
All right, dear.
Okay. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today, and we'll be back with you next week with more questions. And don't be shy. If you have a question or want more information on what we spoke about today, just let us know and write into innerwhispersradio.com. And we'll try to get your question on the air as soon as we can. Are you there, Veronica?
Yes, we are. So here we are, another day on the planet. It's an opportunity to glean information and experiences and to walk through your day with what we would call a positive point of view. It's very easy when things aren't going so well in the generalization of the planet at the moment, and there's a lot of chaos going on. We would say, don't allow yourself to slip into any sort of chaotic, negative moment. Start a practice where you start to recognize when something is not going well, and don't put yourself into it, back up from it. You must protect your own energy, and there's a lot of rolling negativity that can come through and squash the best of you. So we say, start being really aware of the negativity and back up from it. Because most of the time, some of the negativity that's going on can't be regulated by just one person, more of a collective moment. So every day, decide that you're going to think positive thoughts. You keep yourself aware of what's going on, but don't get knee deep in it, or up to your chin, even worse. Decide that you're going to create a positive atmosphere around yourself and barricade yourself from the negativity. And there's plenty of it to go around. So you have to back up and you have to be aware and really decide that you're going to stay in a positive mode. And if you feel like you're being pulled into the muck and mire, stop for a second and say, all right, what is happening here? And undo the tie that is pulling you into the muck and mire. It could be a person, it could be, you know, past experience, all of that. You've got to back up from the negativity, especially if it's not your negativity and it's spilling all over you. Every day, find a positive thought process and stick with it. Do not let the negativity win the war or win the battle. You have the ability to stay clear and focused. Decide to do that and decide that you're going to be positive even in the face of the deepest negativity. If you're faced with it, back up from it. It's never worth plowing through it, the negativity. It's always better to observe and put yourself in a safe spot. So today, make that decision and decide that you're going to be as positive as you possibly can be. Observe the negativity, but don't become part of it. That's the best advice for the day.
Well, thank you, Veronica. Another great message. And I want to thank everyone for listening to the show today. We'll be back with you next week with more questions. Until then, have a good weekend. Bye-bye.